standing in the park next to a very ornate fountain outside Forumstadt, which today has hosted some fascinating talks as a part of the Elevate Festival, elevate.at. And you were there. Who are you? Where are you from?
My name is Katrin Oddsdottir and I'm from Iceland. And I was asked to come here to this brilliant festival, I share that opinion with you, because I participated in the Constitution Council of Iceland. And that sounds like a long and complicated thing. But basically what it was a participatory thing of 25 citizens writing a new constitution for Iceland in the wake of the economical downfall crisis, or whatever you like to call it, up there.
Now, Iceland turned itself around faster than anybody could possibly imagine, mainly because they told the bankers to get lost, am I right?
Yeah, to a certain extent, but I think maybe that story has been told to a fairy tale degree to the outer world. I think what we did was that we refused to pay the ISAVE debts. I'm sure many Brits are very happy about that, not. But basically, it wasn't very fair what the big countries like Holland and Britain, with the help of the bullying EU, were trying to do was make a little country like Iceland responsible for a really corrupted legal work that is actually European and not only Icelandic. That means that people who put money into the bank can't trust that they get the money back. Now, that was the same in Iceland as in many other places, but Iceland went down first. So this became like the testing stone or testing sort of example of how this was going to work. And what we said is, how can we, 300,000 people in the middle of the fucking Atlantic, be responsible for massive debts of a hugely corrupted financial system, and us as taxpayers are supposed to pay for a system that never worked and wasn't ours? So let's vote on it. And we said no twice, and I am happy for that, not only because I think it was the right thing to do, but also I think it gave the global capitalism the finger it needed at the time, which basically means that we shouldn't just buy into all this legislation. And I'm a lawyer, so I'm allowed to say a little bit more about law without being judged as some sort of a frustrated something. I understand them and I like them, sometimes I love them, but they're not sacred, and they're made by people, you know, and they're made by people who have really fucked up interests sometimes, and that's why we have to challenge them. And if the law is really, really unjust, we have to break them. And in Iceland, we had this sort of everything tumbled in a day moment where we thought our society was just the best. At least from capitalistic points of view, we had enough, we had loads, we could travel, we could watch our plasma screens and drink our, you know, imported beer and all that, and life was pretty good. And then it all just, in the space of a day almost, collapsed. And then we realized that what we thought we had was not what we had. And this is basically the same for all of Europe and the whole of the world now. We think we have some sort of system that works, but we don't. We have a system that does not work. It doesn't work for the people, for the planet, or for anything. And it's weird that we're having this discussion still, I think. After now, it's like 5 years down the line. I'm a little bit surprised that I'm standing in this park with you, and we haven't had a new system developed that's more efficient than the one that we are now plastering together like some sort of a Frankenstein monster.
But you tried. I mean, the creation of a new constitution, that surely is one of the first seeds.
Of course, but I'm not a very patient person, and I want that seed to come out of the ground at some point, you know, and that seed is still in the ground at the moment, because even though it's a beautiful seed that could become an incredible tree or something, it has been stopped and blocked, and there's a big stone lying on top of it now, which is called the Icelandic Parliament. Yeah. So
Is this because the constitution was actually quite good and it went against everything that had happened in the hundreds of years before?
Well, that would be my opinion, yes. when you take a power away from a system that holds power, it will fight back, not because the people are evil in any way, but just because this is the nature of systems. They try to maintain themselves, and you can see it in nature, you can see it with people, you can see it with the relationships. Why do people stay in bad relationships? Because the system of the relationship tries to maintain itself, you know. It's really weird, but I think it all boils down to the fear of the uncertainty. Well, that's a crazy fear, in my opinion, because life is uncertainty, really, if you think about it. I mean, all we know is that we die. That's the only certainty. So the total opposite of that is uncertainty, which then must be life somehow. And I think it's very funny when politicians use this to put fear into the people, saying, oh, okay, if you vote like this, it's going to be huge uncertainty. Ooh. And everybody's supposed to piss themselves and then vote the way they want. I don't understand it, because uncertainty is certainly better than the certainty of something bad, isn't it?
Exactly. it's kind of interesting when you say it's a handful of people that actually wrote the constitution. How did everybody agree?
Well, we were 25 and we decided instead of using the old warfare politics that we are used to, that we tried to reach consensus. Consensus methodology is a really beautiful way to solve things. And I was just talking to a man here after the show that was telling me more about it. And I said, it's brilliant. It's really, people should look into it more. Because we always consider what we know to be the norm. But the norm is often fucked up, you know.
So our kind of way of working out democracy now is having two people or two groups of people shout across a room at each other.
And until the vote, and then one says, you were wrong and I was right because there's more of us. And it's really ridiculous if you think about it. I mean, the minority can often be right, but I think more often the fact is that both are wrong. And the third option, which is something that both could settle for, is the right one. And that's what we did in this Constitution Council. So maybe to go back a little bit, first we had after the collapse, we decided to try to rewrite the constitution, it being completely crap and an old copy of the Danish constitution. And we said, okay, we have to do it by the people, for the people, sort of way. So we had a selection, random selection of 1,000 people coming together in a sports complex, sitting down with each other, going like, who the fuck are you? I don't know, who are you? And then saying, okay, let's try to figure out in one day what sort of a society we want and what sort of a constitution we want. And the values that came from that meeting were beautiful. They were very amazing, very different from what the constitution we now have sounds like. After that, the specialists, some lawyers and others, got the job to translate those ideas into law and suggestions, building on different constitutions around the world and what had been done in Iceland before. And after that, 25 people, I was one of them, were elected by the general public to become this Constitution Council, making this constitution. And we decided, let's crowdsource it. Let's give it back to the people and see what happens if we just open it completely. It wasn't because we're such great people. It was because we had very little time and we had to create ownership somehow. And we had to be the change, you know, not turning all Gandhi on you, but this had to be something that we could say, okay, we're trying to mirror the society that we're trying to write here. How can we say that this is the way they should behave, the power holders, if we don't do it ourselves? Now, transparency was one of our key themes, along with responsibility distribution of power. And so we had to be transparent ourselves. And we had very little time, like I told you, and only one technician. So we said, okay, let's use Facebook, let's use YouTube and everything else we have already. And let's just go online. You know, it feels like taking your clothes off on television, national broadcasting, but let's do it anyway. And see what the people say about what we're doing. So we put our draft online every Friday and we got feedback from all different sorts of people and we tried to take it all in and use it. And some of it was highly useful, most of it was. None of it was rude, none of it was stupid. It was all brilliant in a way because we were getting some sort of voices that we would never have been able to find within our own little group of 25 people, you know. So it really worked, and the wisdom of the crowd was great, and it really helped us. We got loads of feedback that we wouldn't have anticipated in such a short time. And also we got new ideas that actually became part of the constitution from people sometimes all over the world even, because both Icelanders living abroad and also just foreigners writing in English saying, okay, I heard about this, now how about putting in, you know, X. And we it was a really brilliant time to be working in this project act, because you saw that it works. You know, it's so easy for people to talk blah, 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 direct democracy. It's like a beautiful catchphrase. But does it work? And inside you feel this angst because you really don't believe in it. Well, I've been there and it does work. And that's really the message that I want to try to come across in this appearance of mine here in Elevate. It's, let's take it from somebody that has gone through it. I know that our constitution hasn't become the reality. It doesn't matter because the methodology proved to be brilliant. How can you write the constitution in 4 months with 25 people agreeing on each and every bit of it in a way that, of course, we had to vote sometimes and so on, but in the end, we voted on if people wanted this to be put forward as the constitutional draft, and each and every one of us said yes.
So the world's eyes were on Iceland during chaos, and a revolution came out of chaos, and the people organized themselves. They came forth with this final, crowdsourced effectively, working constitution. Mm-hmm. And then it was delivered, and what happened?
Well, then the obvious boring part comes, you know, daddy comes home. The parliament got it, and the parliament is the only one that can change the constitution. They were like, no. We know.
So they click the pause button or they click the stop button?
Yeah, with the pause button, they can't click the stop button because you can't stop something great from becoming reality, because if ideas are good enough, they will conquer. That's my belief, at least. And I think that's why I don't feel sensitive or fear anything about this whole document, because I have always said, even after we finished and it looked like it was going to become a reality 10 minutes later, I always said, okay, if it's good enough, it will conquer. If it's not good enough, let's face it and fix it and make it better, you know? Because it's so stupid to think that just because it was done in that way, it's perfect. It's not like that, you know? That's maybe the sort of the trap that the Californians have fallen into. They have used direct democracy, but they don't make it possible for you to change decisions made by direct democracy methodology, which is highly stupid. Direct democracy also makes mistake. It's just like saying a person makes a mistake, a whole family makes a mistake, and a nation will do it also, but it has to have the opportunity to correct and learn from its mistakes. And that's how you evolve. You know, so even though the Icelandic constitution is on ice, or maybe kept asleep in a coma or something, it will conquer, because I'm here talking to you in Graz, and nobody can stop that.
No, exactly. Maybe there needs to be another minor chaos for people to reach for the first aid kit, which is there, and the first aid kit will have this.
Yeah, and that's the difference between now and then. And I'm not saying if, I'm saying when it happens that the next crisis come. It's very short, I think, because this is just not the way that we can lead the life of this planet. Everybody knows it, you know, but people don't know how to fix it. The difference between now and then, if Iceland has another crash, foreseeably I think it will, because the same power holders are back in place now, we have this draft and we're ready now, because before we didn't know the alternative. Now at least we have something else, and we can say, okay, there is an alternative. At least we have one, you know, and we can moderate it, and we can use it as a basis of something beautiful, but at least we have it.
Thankfully, the people, the creatures of habit, are now aware of a plan B.
Yeah, it scares them.
Where can people find you online?
Me as a person.
Yeah.
But you know.
Should they want to know more about what you do? Yeah. Should they want to?
They can't really. I just I'm on Facebook, but I write in Icelandic, and I have a picture of a sheep there. So maybe they can just Google the Icelandic Constitution Council and be very inspired, find the English version and try to make it into law in their own place, you know, and just believe that they can change everything themselves. That's the most important thing, you know. Nobody's going to do it for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.